Hi, my name is Jennifer Marsman, and I am having so much fun with Microsoft Cognitive Services. In today's episode, Rachel and I are going to show you some really cool demos that illustrate the power of what you can do with Cognitive Services. My name is Jennifer Marsman. I'm based in Michigan, and this is my teammate, Rachel. Rachel, do you want to introduce yourself?
Hi, I'm Rachel Weil. I'm a technical evangelist based here in Austin, Texas.
Awesome. So what we, Rachel and I actually got started with Cognitive Services at a hackathon that our team was running. And the two of us teamed up and we had kind of all kinds of crazy ideas, but what we were really excited about was the facial detection APIs and the face APIs that are available in the Microsoft Cognitive Services. Now, with those APIs, you can do a number of different things. One very basic thing you can do is just facial detection. So if you have an image, you can recognize the bounding box that illustrates the boundaries of a face and then be able to extract that. And so we got to thinking and talking and we had a really fun idea. Wouldn't it be neat if we took famous movie posters and then we're able to superimpose pictures of ourselves and our team into these famous movie posters? So think of like historic, landmark movie posters like Gone with the Wind or Star Wars or Harry Potter. So we had some of these fun ideas, and then we're able to insert pictures of our teammates in there. So we got started with this idea, and Rachel is an amazing front-end developer. So she put together a gorgeous front-end that allowed us to select different movie posters. And then I did some back-end work to call the Cognitive Services and do a little bit of fun math to extract out the faces and superimpose them into other things. And so what we came up with was some fun pictures of the picture that you see here is a picture of our grandfather on the org chart, if you think of the org chart as a family tree, which I think you always should, because that's so much easier to think about. It's our grandfather on the org chart in the movie poster of Top Gun. So you can see there is still some little, it's not perfect, but in what the like 12 hours we had for the hackathon, it was a pretty fun kind of use of our time. And so that kind of led us to thinking and exploring about new ideas.
Yeah, exactly. So after the hackathon ended, and I knew Jennifer was busy jet-setting all over the world, and I wanted a little more experience working with the Cognitive Services APIs, so I decided, okay, I'm going to build this project all on my own. I'm going to build it using web APIs, using the sort of like web programming languages that I'm more familiar and comfortable with, and I'll surprise her when she gets back. I'll have the whole project done. It'll be great. And so I actually ended up using a Node package for the Cognitive Services APIs, it was awesome. It was a really easy way to get started using Cognitive Services. And I had a lot of fun sort of learning as I was programming. But I ran into some challenges that I wasn't expecting. And that was with respect to things like gender and skin color. I think from a programmatic perspective, you can solve this if you think about pixels and the API calls this and gets this data back, right? But from a designer's perspective, I started asking these questions. Well, is this the right thing to do? Is this the responsible thing to do? Are people going to enjoy this, or could it be upsetting, or could it result in hurt feelings? And so I think it ended up actually being a great illustration of really the great responsibility that programmers have to not only think about, how do I render this image or how do I blend the pixels together, but sort of the social implications and biases that we're all at risk of incorporating into code. So, at this point, I think, oh my gosh, okay, there is a way to address this these issues responsibly and respectfully, but I'm nervous about doing them in a 2-week hack, right? Like not only learning the technology and getting something built that's working, but also doing it in a way that's really respectful and responsible. So I just wasn't feeling right about it, and I decided I'm going to make something completely different with the face API. And now feeling really comfortable with the face API and how it worked, I made a little bit something different. So this is the Deal With It bot. So So this is the Deal With It bot. This is what I built using the Cognitive Services Face API. And so this is based on the meme that maybe you guys have seen from a few years ago, right? The pixelated shades come down, and then the text in impact says, deal with it. So I thought, you know, the Face API is actually returning information about where the outsides of your eyes are located, where your eyebrows, you know, all the points along your eyebrows and your eyes, as well as the sort of bounding box of your face. And I thought, oh, this is perfect. We'll be able to detect exactly where these glasses should fall. We could do that programmatically. And so it's not only about where the eyes are, right, but how close the face is, how big the face is in the picture, and also whether the face is turned like this or turned like this, right? So these are things, actually, the Face API will return all of this information. And using a combination of those data points, we can actually create some really nice, realistic looking, you know, for pixelated sunglasses, realistic looking positioning for those glasses. So I'll go ahead and show a few examples of how this works. This is a website you can go to it right now. It's aifunclub.azurewebsites.net. And essentially, you would just type in or paste in a URL of a photo. It can actually do this on a photo with up to 64 faces simultaneously, which is really funny. If you have any like group photos or family photos, it's a pretty good test of this. It just needs to be under the 4 megabyte maximum, which is a limitation on the Face API. So I kind of like doing this with TV cast screenshots. Here's the cast of Seinfeld. I think I also had one of the Golden Girls. And you can see all those glasses land at the same time.
They do. That was awesome.
Yeah, exactly. And so the way that this works is, it's interesting. You'll notice up here, if you can see it, the URL for the image is just hashed into the URL for the website. So there's actually no image stored anywhere. And some people were kind of like, oh, I wish I could download the GIF of this and save it, which I think is a great feature that should totally happen in revision 2. But the kind of nice flip side of this is that none of the images are stored anywhere, right? They're not stored on my server, so it's free for me. And then, you know, it feels a little less like, you know, there's sometimes a hesitation about uploading a photo to a random server, right? In this case, a photo does not get uploaded to a server, so it's just, again, hashed in that URL. And yeah, it's just kind of a fun, lightweight thing. All these glasses are created as CSS divs, so this is the glasses are vector files that get scaled up, get tilted, get sort of shifted dependent on how the face is turned. You can see in this photo, for example, we have some faces that are turned this way, and so the glasses are accommodated for that using CSS transforms. And then that text is placed as well as using a combination of CSS and jQuery and things like that. So if you're interested in seeing more about how this web app works, I actually have all of the source code up on my GitHub page. So it's just under a repo called AI Fun Club. And you can take a look at how this works sort of under the covers and how I'm using the Node package for Cognitive Services, which is under the name Project Oxford, since this was made a while back, and at that time it was called Project Oxford. But you can kind of see how this works and how the scaler is determined for, like, you know, how big should those glasses scale up and how should they be tilted and everything like that. So that's the project. It's a far cry from our original poster child idea. But it did achieve the objective of sort of being able to learn more about the Cognitive Services API and understanding how that technology works. And then also sort of at the same time grappling with these issues of sort of ethics and responsibility. And I think, you know, these APIs are so incredibly powerful and it's important to sort of like deal with them respectfully and responsibly. So I can't say that this has great, you know, business impact, but I think it's fun, and I've seen people have enjoyed sort of sharing it around, and I've even seen people have changed their Twitter avatars to, you know, a picture of them with the glasses on. So it's been really fun to see this sort of out in the real world and people are enjoying it. And it makes me feel good to know that it's making people happy. And it's sort of a source of enjoyment.
It is. This is awesome work, Rachel. Like, I love this so much. Like, what a fun, you know, application of the facial APIs. So, no, I absolutely love this. This is amazing stuff. So, everybody, go to this website and check it out. I love it so much. I love the deal with the bot. And I'm excited to share a project that I did with another colleague of ours. James and I, at a hackathon in New York in April, put together something using the text analytics functionality in the cognitive services. Now, the text analytics lets you do a lot of cool things. There's sentiment analysis capabilities, which essentially return back a value between 0 and 1 for how positive versus negative your tone is. And so we started thinking about this perhaps sounds a little more lofty than it is, but we started thinking about unconscious bias and how you can sometimes just over time, well, even backing up, you know how when you get to know someone a little better, you start to maybe become a little more blunt with them? Like, I know I'm guilty of that all the time. Like, on instant messaging all the time, I almost never say hi or how you doing? How's the family? I'm always like, you know, get right to the point because, you know, there's only so much time in the day. But when you think about that, that can have real negative repercussions, especially from someone who's just coming from a different place than you are. And so what we decided to do was use the Office Graph to be able to reach out and grab emails that you sent to a particular email address. So let's say I wanted to kind of look at how my interactions with Rachel had been over time. Like, have I gotten a little too blunt with her? Like, how is our relationship going, right? And so what I could do is enter in Rachel's email address into the app. It takes that. And then it asks for my user credentials to be able to access my email, goes out and grabs my emails to Rachel, and then is able to process those and run the sentiment analysis on them and get an overall sentiment score, as well as a little chart of what the sentiment looked like over time. So let me show you how that works. First, just for a little background, let me show you the Microsoft Cognitive Services landing page. You can just go to microsoft.com/cognitive, and that will actually redirect you here. And if you search under these APIs or hit this little dropdown, you can see the breadth of what's available here. We have everything from the facial APIs, which Rachel showed you earlier, to video processing, to emotion detection from an image. So it recognizes 8 different emotions, including a neutral state as one of those. Computer vision for recognizing pictures, being able to differentiate whether something is a cat or an orange or a, you know, water bottle, those types of things. And then we have all kinds of speech capabilities as well. And then what I'm going to be doing here is using the text analytics. So I can click on text analytics right here. And there's a variety of things that are available. What I'm using right now is the sentiment analysis score. And as I said before, it returns a value between 0 and 1, with 1 being, you know, very positive language and 0 being more negative. And there's also key phrase extraction, which we can add. We're thinking about adding into V2. Topic detection to kind of get a sense for the overall things that, you know, Rachel and I may be talking about, as well as language detection, which is, you know, wonderful. Am I speaking English or French or you know, Japanese. So all kinds of cool stuff there. So let me actually show you, there's actually a quick demo here that you can try it yourself if you want. If you click the learn more, it takes you to this actual demo and shows you kind of what this API can return. So if I say something like, I hate that stupid monster, that gives you a very, should be fairly negative. So 2%. So we're very close to negative. We're on the close to 0 here. And then you can also see the language detection APIs that was English. And then the key phrases that I'm talking about stupid monsters here, right? And then on the other side, I could say something like, you know, in honor of Mother's Day that just happened, my loving mother is a joy. How about that? And analyze that. And you can see now the sentiment is very positive, right? And it I'm talking about how she's a joy. So it's able to extract that out. So a lot of power here with this text analytics. And so what we did was employ not only the text analytics from Cognitive Services, but also the Microsoft Graph. So I'm showing what I have right here is available at graph.microsoft.io. And you can click on the Graph Explorer. And what this does is actually show you a little bit of information about your organization. So I'm already signed in to my corporate account. And if I just do, you know, me and query the Office Graph to find out information about myself, you can see what it gives me back is my name. And that's from our corporate address book. It gives me my name. And then broken into first name and last name as well. It gives my title in the address book, my email address, things like that. So a lot of great information available at your fingertips. And I can also query the org chart. I can find out that information about my manager, lots of other things. So there's a lot of power in the graph here as well. And so what we did is all available here at github.com. This is James's, my colleague James, that we worked on this together. It's under his GitHub account called Unconscious Bias. So let me just show you how it works. I'm going to run the code. And this is launching a Windows 10 application. And we chose like a Windows 10, and we actually used the template 10 that our colleague Jerry Nixon helped put together. And that helped us with kind of some of the UI bits. As I think everyone who's seen any of my applications knows, I am not a UI person. I love back-end development, and the front end is a lot harder for me. So what we're going to do is actually bring this up and then be able to show the power of using the Office Graph and the Cognitive Services. So here we go. Here's the application. And so what I'm going to do is enter an email of someone that I work with. And then I'm going to click this Get Insights. So this is, I want to find out how my interactions with my colleague Alex have been over time. So I'm going to click on that. And there's kind of a nice getting your score display. And then what it launches here is the actual, this is the login information. And what's nice about this is I didn't have to write this code myself. This is for me to access my email. And there was a nice authentication API that I was able to use, which takes care of all of this for me. Now, this may be a little simpler if you're using it yourself. But what it did is since I entered my, you know, my Microsoft account, it federated it into Microsoft's authentication thing. And I hope I did the password right there. And so we actually have two-factor authentication. So what it's doing is it's going to call me on my cell phone real quick. And so I am just going to answer that and type in my password. And then we will be moving. There we go. Got the call. And I'm going to enter in my password. And then there we go. Nice, I'm in. So that was just two-factor authentication. That's specific to Microsoft and how we do identity here. So you may not have to do that. And so now what it's telling me is here are the things that the app is asking for, the permissions. So it does need the permission to read your email because it is accessing my email, and then it needs to be able to access that data. So I need those two permissions specifically, and I'm gonna hit accept that I'm okay with that, because I understand why it needs to access my email. So now it's accessing my email and getting the last 10 emails in my correspondence to Alex, my colleague Alex. And so then it shows me the overall average score. And we did use a Telerik control for this to do. We kind of, in the last hour of the hackathon, we're like, ooh, let's plot it over time. So we kind of grabbed a chart, and it's not perfect yet. You can see we have some work to do to line up these things nicely. But what we did is get the average sentiment over the time. And you can see I'm about 86% positive towards my colleague Alex. So that's, you know, not too bad. You can see I had kind of a bad day here. I don't know what was going on that day. The first day I was a little negative there in that first email. But then the majority, maybe a little dip right there too. But the majority of these are fairly positive. So that's great. And then I like the fact that you can track over time, because if you do kind of notice that, oh my gosh, I guess I've been really negative around this person lately, you know, you can kind of see over time, okay, are the more recent ones getting better? Because then you can kind of proactively think about that and maybe try to change your behavior accordingly. So anyway, I thought it was kind of a fun use of the API. So let me show you just a little bit of the code. right here. We jump back and stop that. What we're doing here, so this is the go to details page. So this is what happens when we're actually calculating out this score. And so we throw up kind of that neat getting your score that looks all nice and gives you the little pointer there. This is where we're actually calling the authenticated client. So this just does a, it's a little helper method that calls in and then accesses all of that auth stuff. And again, it's there's like one more call inside of this method, but it's very, very simple. So I did not have to write a lot of auth code, which I love. Do it for me whenever possible. So that's really nice. And then you can see the how the office graph works. We're using the V2 auth strategy. So it gives you kind of a nice SDK where you can just basically use these nice extension methods essentially that say, all right, on the graph client, get the information about me, get my messages. I want to request that. There's some search value. So I'm looking specifically for the messages that are to Alex. And then this is a neat thing too. You can select just the unique body. So what that means is you can actually get the entire body of an email, but unique body, what it does is actually parses out just the section at the top. So think about if we had like a long email thread and I said something and then he replied and then I said something back. What unique body does is only grab that last thing that I said to him, and then it strips out all of the other replies back and forth that were below that. So that's kind of neat functionality that I specifically wanted for this as well. And I was really happy when the office, I thought I was going to have to do that myself, but luckily the office graph exposed that for me, which was wonderful. So that's what we're getting. And then we're just using a string builder here to parse together some JSON. And this is a little bit hacky still. We're doing, I just did it using a regular expression. I'm sure there's a better way to do it. Somebody's got to have a library to do that in a better way. But again, it was like a time-constrained hackathon, so we just got it working. And so we kind of formatted all of those, all of these emails in into JSON in a way that the sentiment analysis stuff could parse. And then we remove the comma, so it's all, the JSON message is all parsed nicely. And then what we're doing is using this text analytics helper to call that get sentiment. And all that's doing is a really, really simple call out here where it's basically just doing a nice, calling by just constructing using an HTTP client, putting together that URI accordingly and making the call and converting that back. So that's just a really simple helper right there. And then when I get that back, I can calculate out the average sentiment score. So I grab a sum and a total, and then just, of course, sum together all of the sentiment scores, as well as keeping track of the count of how many messages I grabbed. And then from that, I can easily calculate the average score. Now, do remember that these scores are between 0 and 1, where 1 is as positive as you can get, and 0 is negative. So to make that into a percentage, I multiplied it by 100, and then converted it into an int as well. And so then what we're doing is putting that all in an object. We're putting in that percentage, and then we kind of left room to maybe parse out keywords and stuff later if we want to. And then we pass in the whole array of sentiment scores so we could plot them as well. And then we send that over to the detail page, which is what displays it kind of nicely. So that's a lot of what happened. So it's fairly straightforward to work with these APIs. And I think it's kind of a cool thing to be able to say, oh, how has my interaction gotten? Have I been like super negative lately? And how is that affecting the people around me? So you can kind of just have awareness, right? And that's the best you can hope for. So hopefully you've seen the power of the Microsoft Cognitive Services and some of the really fun demos that you can build with them. I know Rachel and I have had a ton of fun playing, and we have a whole bunch of other ideas as well. So if you'd like to follow along and see kind of the latest code that we've been creating or the latest things that we've been up to, feel free to follow us on Twitter. I am Jennifer Marsman.
And I'm Party Time Hexlent, H-X-L-N-T.
All right. So go ahead and try it out for yourself. www.microsoft.com/cognitive. Thank you so much and happy coding.